right, Justin. You hear me okay?
I got you.
Awesome. All right. Well, congratulations on another Super Speedway win. We are now joined by Justin Haley, driver of the number 11 Colleague Racing Chevrolet. Justin, how do you feel heading to the Roval knowing, you know, that pressure is kind of off your back for that race?
Such a relief. You know, I points raced all day, and then you get down to the last 10 laps, and it's like you just completely forget about it and go across start-finish line, win, and then, you know, I didn't even register that we made it into the round of eight, locked ourselves in until a good bit after. So much pressure is relieved, at least for a week, but we still have to go to the Roval. We still have to execute, right? We got to finish well, that we have a good starting position at the next race, good pit selection. So next week, obviously, is not an off week, but at least no pressure.
All right. Well, we're going to take some questions here from the media for you. As a reminder, if you have one for Justin, please click the participants tab and raise your hand, or you can send me a chat. Let's kick things off with Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Just kind of wondering about why you think you're an underdog. I mean, you had Dark Horse on the side of your car after what you've been able to accomplish at restrictor plate tracks. Why the Dark Horse?
It's been a thing that's been with me since the truck days. When I was at GMS and went all the way to the Final Four and had a chance at the championship, a lot of people doubted my existence even in the playoffs that year. And I've always just felt like an underdog. I've always, I'm probably not the most out there in the media, right? I'm not putting myself out there on social media. I'm a very, to myself kind of guy, right? If I wasn't a race car driver, I wouldn't have social media, right? And if you don't put yourself out there in this day and age, a lot of people overlook you, right? So I'm here to race. I'm here to win for my team, and that's about it. I really could care less about anything else. So I feel like I've just always been overlooked, and, it's just how it is.
Knowing your background a little bit, I'm kind of curious what went through your mind when you saw Bristol was going to add dirt to the racetrack.
I love it. I think it's going to be a great addition. I was never great at Eldora in the trucks. I don't know why, right? Yeah, I'm a dirt racer at heart, and I'd show up there, and I was so bad. Like, I was so bad. The truck was fine, but I just couldn't figure it out. So it's going to be a learning experience, right? But so excited for the fans to see something different. And, it's just so fun to be a part of the sport right now.
Appreciate your time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Justin, how confident were you that you'd be able to hold on to the lead if it went green all the way through?
I was, once I got to the lead, I was pretty confident, but I didn't even know how I got to the lead, right? I was back there for a good bit, and I had to kind of hop my way up there and use the draft. And then when I got to fifth behind Burton, I was like, all right, I'm just going to ride here. I'm going to let everyone race, split up, and then I'm going to get a good draft and go up there. And that's exactly what happened. So just a good bit of guessing. AJ was on my inside. He was working it pretty well, and I knew if I could hop in front of him and Annette, it was going to be pretty successful. So once I saw Briscoe and Gregson get together and do what they were doing, and I looked in my mirror, top lane was split up, I knew, I was actually lifting as Annette was lifting, so he couldn't get a run. If I was just going to run wide open, he could have got a run. So just a lot of in the mirror driving.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Justin, kind of off that, when you were 10th with 10 laps to go, did you think there was any way you were even going to be able to get to the front?
Oh, no. I was so in my head, so frustrated from the chain of events. I restarted last there with 20 to go and wasn't making much progress. I was really struggling, just trying to guess, like I said, what lane was going to roll. And then I was like, man, I just got to go to the top, stick to the top. And then I got AJ behind me. We're able to side draft a few guys. So, like I said, when I got to the lead, I was like, man, how did I get here, right? It just all kind of happened so fast.
Congrats.
Thank you.
All right. Our next question will come from Jonathan with the Racing Experts. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan Fiel with theracingexperts.com. Justin, you made a lot of really calculated moves at the end of the race to make up positions. What went through your head just as you're trying to scope those moves out, make the moves just to get to the front?
Obviously, it's just so methodical, and that's why I love this kind of racing. You know, you go to a mile and a half for a short track, and your main focus is on hitting your marks, nailing the corner, knowing when to lift and brake. And then when you come here, Driving the car is second nature, right? It's not what you're thinking about. You're thinking about everyone around you, and you can put all your focus onto that. So I've really been able to hone those skills and for some reason just adapt to it and just put myself in those positions. And having Kevin Hamlin up on the, spotter stand is so great as well.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, our next one will come from Steven Toronto. Go ahead, Steven.
Justin, this race wasn't originally on the 2020 schedule to start the year, and we've never run Talladega twice in a given year. Considering some of the changes that were made to the Cup schedule, would you like to see the Xfinity Series maybe race Talladega twice, or do you think one trip is enough?
If you're asking me, I want to go to Talladega 33 times or 36 times or 35 times, throw in a Daytona, maybe a Richmond and a Bristol and call it good. Some road courses in there too, but that's just what we're good at, right? That's just what I've come to love, and that's where the 11 team shines. So if you're asking a guy that just won three in a row on the super speedways, if he wants more super speedways, you don't even have to dash or sprinkle them in there. You can toss them in there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Marty Zakala. Go ahead, Marty.
Thank you, Marissa. Justin, congratulations on the win. Two questions for you. What, you've won three consecutive super speedway races. What is it that just makes you so good at this track? Or at these tracks?
Like I said, it's just methodical. It's knowing where to go. A good part of it is having great ECR engines. College Racing, all the guys there, they bring really fast Chevrolets. And just being able to work with them, knowing how the draft works. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? But just knowing how to make it work and knowing what's going to happen and taking risk. I mean, a big part of it is a risk, right? When I went low in front of a net, that's all it was, right? I was going to finish first or 30th. I could have gotten thrown back there. So risk first reward. So far I've just been able to play it perfectly.
When Chase Briscoe got way loose there off of turn four in those final laps, what were your initial reactions?
He did get extremely loose. I thought he was wrecking. Then he went back up, locked an eye, and I was full tilt right with my head looking, seeing where he was going. I wasn't even looking straight. I was just looking at him. These cars were hard to drive today. I don't know why. I would have thought with the cooler temperatures, they would have been easier to drive, but maybe we were going faster than we were in the summer. And that's why I had some handling issues there that we had to fix in the first stage. So it wasn't easy to drive them, and especially the runs that they were getting. I knew Hemric bumped me a few times, and it was definitely a handful.
Thanks, Justin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All righty, we'll take our next question from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Justin, I just wanted to go back when you started leapfrogging folks from about 10th. Was it surprising at all that nobody was able to either keep you out of line or kill your momentum? Because I think by the time you got up to about 5th or so, it was almost like they noticed you were coming too late.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's not like I just leapfrogged a guy because I wanted to. It was at least two or three laps of planning. I had to see where he was in terms of the guy in front of him, where they were getting broken up. A lot of them were getting a big gap in front of them into turn three. So I knew if I got the guy behind me to push me down the backstretch, side draft him, he was going to have a bigger gap, right? So there was a lot of thinking into it. And luckily I was, not able to get one at a time. There's like two or three of them at a time. It was insane. So just being able to calculate it honestly was a lot of thinking, a lot of preparation, trying to get the guy behind me to go with me and push me. So there was a lot to it and a lot more I probably can explain. But it wasn't just a decision I made split second. It took a few laps of preparation for every move I made.
All righty, and we're going to take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Justin, when Chase Briscoe came down on you with like about three laps to go, how did you guys not crash? How did that impact the line? It seemed like there was a bit of a speed differential there, and yet the bottom line was pretty well lined up. How did you guys not wreck? How did that affect your line?
Yeah, he did get put out there, and – to be honest with you, I thought I was going to get a bigger run than I did. I never lifted. I guess his motor just regenerated the power that quickly, and I guess a net behind me wasn't closed up to me perfectly. So it wasn't even close to wrecking. I didn't lift or anything. It was just kind of in line, and then he was able to get such a big push to go up there and kind of work the draft.
Also, with about 3-4 laps to go, you were running second on that bottom line. AJ was in front of you. He moved up to the top line. That allowed you to lead the bottom line. Did that surprise you that he moved up and gave you the bottom line like that? Or were you also trying to look to move up at that point?
No. I went down there to help AJ, and then AJ went back top, and team orders were 10 laps. So at that point, it really didn't matter. It was every man for himself. I just knew AJ had a fast car, so I wanted to be with AJ. It wasn't that he was his teammate, right? If it was anyone else that I knew had a fast car, Nett had a fast car, they were just lined up on the bottom, and I saw AJ making it work, and I wanted to get down there, and I knew it was my only chance. I wasn't going to do anything running fifth on the top lane, so I had to do something to try to win the race.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Marty, did you have another question?
Yes, just one quick one, Justin. Just fast-forwarding to the round of eight. Colic Racing has never had a car in the championship four, I believe. How do you think your chances look at Kansas, Texas, and Martinsville in making this championship four? How confident are you?
I would say I'm about mid-tier on that, right? Our mile and a half program, it's kind of hit or miss, to be honest with you. Some weeks we're really fast, and some weeks, we're just struggling to get 10th, so... I know we'll be fast at Martinsville. My short track stuff is unbelievable right now. So we had some good runs at Kansas. Texas, I've always struggled, but Ross has ran good there. So I do know that these college guys are going to work their butts off, and they're going to give me the best cars possible. And I'm ready to fight it out with them all the way to the end.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on another win and securing your spot in the next round. And we will see you at the Roval.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. And to the media, we'll be joined by our race winning crew chief here momentarily. Just give us a few minutes here to get things cleaned up.